Good morning. Y'all bear with me as we go through this morning. I walked in and found out I was worship leader, so we're going to do the best we can. We're going to start with a moment to welcome and greet each other. And I want to say good morning from warm, very warm, where'd we go? Cali, Columbia. So I'm glad to be back and glad to be back with you all. So if you'll take a minute, just stand up and greet each other, and we'll do that. Let me get some. Okay, I'm going to start with announcements this morning. It looks like, and let me find it again, tomorrow night we're going to have a barbecue planning meeting. And yeah, it's already that time, so tomorrow night at 5:30 here at the church. But if you're unable to attend but have ideas, see Steve Alamore or Mary Beth Rowland. Are there any other announcements? I don't have my glasses on, so I think that's Sonia.
Thank you. somewhere not necessarily to you, but a people that come to the Lord and need your Lord and your service. If you could be a help and a witness to the name of your Lord.
Other announcements?
Kim went to South America with me, and I told her she had to talk. She couldn't be here last week, but I know everybody gets tired of hearing me talk about it, but this is a first-time missionary to South America, so I wanted to talk about her trip a little. I tell you what, she got treated like royalty.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to highly encourage any of you who have never been to Colombia, which is, how many of you have ever been to Colombia? Right, South America, South Carolina. It's really got a bad name. It's got a bad rap. I'm sure that it in the past has been really rough. I'm sure there are still areas. I know there are still areas that are rough. But these people were absolutely wonderful. I told Sam at one point, I said, if they feed me one more thing, I'm going to absolutely die. Because every time you turn around, they're throwing food at you or this or that, especially the family I stayed with. When you go, you do stay with different families. So everybody has kind of a different experience. And I've got to say, the family that Glenda Riddick, who is from Birmingham, she and I stayed together at the Correo families. And when we first got there, it was like, I came back the next morning and I said, Sam, can we go buy some foam? I'm sleeping on a mattress that's about this thick. I'm laying on the floor, might as well be. And Glenda's bed did this, and my bed did this. But, you know, you forget about all that within the first several days. Part of it's probably because you're working so hard, you're so tired that you don't really care what you're sleeping on. But it's all great. Our family, like I said, we got there. They spoke little to no English. We spoke little to me, no Spanish. So it was very interesting. But it's funny how God works everything out. We communicate. We found a way to communicate. However, I think that's why we ate so much, because we'd tell her no, and she'd say, okay, and go bring us more food. So we did have some communication issues, but it was all wonderful. The project. And hopefully one day we'll do a little slideshow. Well, we'll eventually have a slideshow, because we came back with over, I guess, combined probably 1,000 pictures. One day we went up to Popayan, which is one of the older cities, absolutely gorgeous. I'll get back to the work project in just a minute. On the last Friday we were there, it was, now make sure I do this right, it was the 79th birthday of Cumberland Presbytery. Of Kaleo, the school, which is sponsored by the Cumberland Presbytery. So all the schools, we ventured out to the different schools, and each one of them did just these presentations. They honored us for being there, and did dances and sang for us and all these different things, and little gifts for us. We got to San Marcos, and they had the little kids dressed in the native apparel, and they escorted us one at a time. And they were just, I told Sam, I can't go to Guatemala because I'll be bringing children home with me. But they're just absolutely wonderful. If you have fears about going to Colombia, set them aside, because, number one, the group, going with the group, they will not put us in harm's way. Okay, they just don't. We went to one of the churches and had a police escort. So if they even remotely feel there's danger, they take a police escort with you, or they just don't take you to those areas. And it's kind of tough to feel threatened when you have military or the officers standing there with, what are they, the guns? AK-47s, fingers on the triggers at all times. You know, only if you're going to do something wrong do you feel threatened. So the work project, back to that, I think there's 7 residents there right now. These are the sweetest little people, and all they need is a smile and a hug every now and then. The part we worked on is to build I call it kind of the family center. It's a 2-story building, and the upstairs is going to be some more residence area, but the downstairs is going to be kind of their game rooms and different things. So we got to dig holes and dig trenches and twist wires. If I didn't have carpal tunnel before I went, I have it now. Just doing this for 4 days, get you. Bending rebar, straightening the rebar just so we could bend it again. Mixing concrete, which is interesting because, you know what, I've never seen that process, and that was interesting. And those buckets get heavy, and then rolling it by a wheelbarrow. You know, we step back 50 years in construction, and that's how everything is done in Columbia. And everybody was like, why didn't you bring in a backhoe to do the digging? Sam, why don't we bring in a backhoe? Or you have to reserve it like a month in advance. I told Dan, my brother-in-law, I said, it's not Nashville. You can't call and have it delivered the same day. So everything was by hand and literally digging. And I think we dug 10, what were those, 4 by 4 by 4? For the foundation. But it was a true blessing. We did get all the foundation poured, all the towers, I don't know the technical terms because I'm not in construction, but I'm learning. The towers for the support, all those are up and built and rebuilt and built again. And we are going back in October, and I am going back. So that should tell you something. It is wonderful. It's a wonderful experience. And the main thing, two things that I wanted to point out is if you think you've got it bad, go to Columbia. It really makes you appreciate what we've got. I could not wait, and I told Sam this every day. First thing when I get home is a warm shower, because it was a cold shower every day for 15 days, and my thick mattress. But that's just a given there. So if you think you've got it bad, visit Columbia. You'll have a new appreciation for what you have here. And secondly is, given their situation there, what they have and what they don't have, their faith in God is amazing and inspiring. And if you go for nothing but that, these people don't have a whole lot to be thankful for. I mean, I said to somebody, I said, if we were in their shoes, how many of us would be in church on Sunday morning thanking God and giving praise to God? Not too many. Because we are very spoiled. And on that one thing, and I'll shut up just a second because I don't want to do the whole sermon this morning, but I could, though.
We're playing that recently.
Okay. I also had an opportunity to, Glenda and I went to the school one day. We spent an entire day at the school speaking English to the students because they do require their students to learn English. So that is a blessing. And they said it's very helpful to have proper English-speaking people to come and talk to them because of the dialect or whatever. So anyway, we're spending the day with them, and we got in an incredible conversation with the 11th graders. And we got to talking about their perception. Well, they asked us, and they said, with hand on heart, what is your perception of the Columbians? So we got into that conversation. Well, then I said to them, okay, let's turn the tables. What is your perception of the Americans? And their belief is all Americans are rich, which by their standards we probably are, and that we're very frivolous. So if you sit back and think about what you're seeing and what I experienced as far as their faith in God and what they make do with and all these things, it really does make you have a deeper appreciation for what you have, a deeper appreciation for God and the love of God, because He is working miracles there. And I've got to say that He is working miracles. when we had the police escort, we went to one of the poorest areas. And this is an outreach church of San Marcos. And the people from the community gathered when they saw the bus pull up and just sang and worshiped with us. And these people were happy and excited to sing about the Lord. So I've just got to say, think about where you are in your walk with God and be thankful every day and give Him thanks every day for how good you do have it. And if you can clear your calendar to go in October, I would highly encourage you to do so. So that's it. Now I've got to continue on with the announcements. Okay. Prayers, prayer requests. So I'm just going to ask for a prayer request. Pray for the people in Columbia and Boyce and Beth. They are truly a blessing and an inspiration. So, what was the name again? What's your best friend? The requests or praises or others? Let's pause for a moment of silent prayer and prepare our hearts for worshiping God. Join together in our call to worship. It is responsive and it is from Psalms 99. You'll find it in your bulletin. The Lord reigns. Let the nations tremble. He sits enthroned between the cherubim. Let the earth shake.
Great is the Lord in Zion.
He is exalted over all the nations. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy.
Exalt the Lord our God.
And worship at his footstool. He is holy. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy.
You don't really have to wait till October to be blessed. I'm going to Guatemala in April. Pam Camus and Kelly Spicer are going, and 9 others. So if you'd like to make that trip, that also is a blessing. Let's turn in our hymnals to 103. Blessed be the name. And stand as we sing.
All praise to Him who reigns above in majesty supreme, who gave His Son for man to die, that He might man redeem. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name above all names shall stand, exalted more and more. At God the Father's own right hand, where angels most adore. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. His name shall be the Counselor, the Mighty Prince of Peace, of all earth's kingdom conqueror, whose reign shall never cease. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name, blessed be the name, blessed be the name of the Lord.
And bow for prayer, please. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come recognizing the blessedness of the name of Jesus, your Son and our Savior, and Lord, coming to bless Him again with our meager efforts. We pray, Lord, that You would take what we have and use it to bring glory and honor and praise unto Jesus and also unto Yourself. Lord, thank You for the privilege of coming apart from the world. Lord, speak to us today and let us experience Your presence in this special way that we need. Thank You for the testimonies given. Thank You for the abilities that You have given Kim and Sam and others to go and share the gospel through their hard labor. Lord, thank You for a privilege of being a part of Your kingdom. And we come offering our thanks and this prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing and we'll state our faith through the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of a Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried.
He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty.
From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body,
and the life everlasting. Time that we come to the Lord confessing our sin. Our call to confession this morning is from Ezra chapter 10, verse 11.
Now make confession to the Lord, the God of your fathers, and do His will. Let's join in the prayer of confession in unison. God of compassion, in Jesus Christ you reveal the light of your glory, but we turn away, distracted by our own plans. We confess that we speak when we should listen, and act when we should wait. Forgive our aimless enthusiasms. Grant us wisdom to live in your light and to follow in the way of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Our assurance of forgiveness. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Hymns now, please, to hymn 72. Thou art worthy.
We will glorify.
I'm sorry, 72. I said we will glorify. Let's sing 1 and 4. 1 and 4.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lord of Lords, who is the great I
walked along the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. I have forgotten words. This song is just too good for me to forget the words. I hate to use the words. Dreamed I went to heaven. You were there with me. We walked along the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing. Then someone called your name. We turned and saw this young man. He was smiling as he came. He said, friend, you may not know me now. Then I said, but wait. You used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. Every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. One day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Then another man stood before you, said, remember the time a missionary came to your church. His pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you came. One by one they came, far as the eye could see. Each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you have done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand. You stood before the Lord. He said, my child, look around you. Great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am the light that was changed. For giving to the Lord, I am so glad you came. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a light that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. I am so glad you gave.
The preparatory sentence this morning comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Would our ushers please come forward? Can I get four ushers, please?
Let us pray. Lord God, you have talked to us about giving and giving. to talk equally so about love. And Father, we pray that you would move us to give to our love that you have implanted in our life. And we offer this prayer in Jesus' name.
Please, to 564, and let's sing a new song. We are so blessed. We are. Play that 3-4, please.
Scripture lesson this morning starts in Exodus chapter 34, verses 29 through 35. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them. So Aaron and all the leaders of the community came back to him, and he spoke to them. afterward, all the Israelites came near him, and he gave them all the commands the Lord had given him on Mount Sinai. When Moses finished speaking to them, he put a veil over his face. But whenever he entered the Lord's presence to speak with him, he removed the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the Israelites what he had been commanded, they saw that his face was radiant. Then Moses would put the veil back over his face until he went in to speak with the Lord. And from Luke chapter 9, verses 28 through 36. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him and went up onto a mountain to pray. As he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor, talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
Today is what we call in the church Transfiguration Sunday, and that is a Sunday to remember and celebrate the experience that we have just read about in our scripture lesson. And I'm trying something new this morning. I planned to do this last Sunday morning and completely forgot it till the end of the service, but we are trying to experiment and put some pictures, etc., up before you. I'm wondering, hearing Kim talk, this is on, and maybe you were not right into it, but I could hear, and I didn't know if y'all could. Today, two things I need you to just think about. One is the Bellevue Church. If they were able to meet today, the 1096 were going to move into their newly constructed building. It burned Friday before Mother's Day, almost 3 years ago, and they got the building completed, and they were scheduled to go in today. Based on the weather and numerous old people in that congregation, we don't know how they will fare today. Also, the Grace Cumberland Presbyterian Church on Lewisburg Pike out of Franklin is going through a little tough time. So lift that congregation up, the Grace Church also, in their difficult time. And often churches go through difficult times, and this is the week that that church is having a difficult time. They have a lot of stuff planned, though, in the next few weeks, but so just lift them up in prayer. For our historical background today, the Old Testament lesson comes when Moses came down from the mountain for the second time. He came down the second time. He went up the first time, and things didn't go right when he got back down. He received the law from God, but he came back and he broke them. He broke every one of them. Somebody has made a joke out of that. So he went up and received the commandments on the tablet of stone the second time. The New Testament lesson, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, and he, in the ninth chapter of Luke, we see him being rejected by one community, because a Samaritan community, because he was headed to Jerusalem, and there was some animosity between the Samaritans and the Jews, and you can read that through the New Testament, and they rejected him, but his face was set toward Jerusalem, where he is. He goes up onto the mountain, and he is transfigured before the eyes of three disciples that could give clear testimony. But at Jerusalem, Jesus was going to die. And he knew that, or seemed to have known that. The goal, I hope, would be helpful. I have struggled with this sermon. What is the goal, or what is the purpose, or what do I hope to come out of it? And I hope just to call your attention to the blessing of seeing God, or being in his very near presence, and experiencing his glory. Just the blessing of being close to God, seeing Jesus. You've heard the account from Luke about the information of the that the writer Luke gives us concerning Jesus' experience on the mountain with the three disciples. And if you can kind of see that picture, it's Jesus in the middle, Moses and Elijah. I'm believing that Moses is on your right because he's got the, looks like the tablets of stone there. And then the disciples were very sleepy. Peter, James, and John were very sleepy, and so they were sleeping on the ground. And the Old Testament lesson, Exodus chapter 34, tells about Moses' experience with God. What we're doing is Moses' experience with God and Jesus' experience and the disciples' experience with Jesus on the mountain where Moses comes back to visit. Mount Sinai. It was the second time. Why a second time? What caused Moses to break all the commandments? Or what caused him to throw or cast the tablets that the commandments were written on to the ground? Well, he came down from the mountain. He had been gone 40 days, back in the 19th and 20th chapter of Exodus. And he'd been gone 40 days, and the people got impatient, and they complained to Aaron, Moses' brother, and he said to them, to pacify them, "Well, bring all your gold here, and we'll make us a golden calf, and we'll worship that golden calf." And Moses came down from the mountain and he saw these people worshiping the golden calf. And one of the early commandments was, have no graven images and worship no other gods but God. And they had this inanimate object, a golden calf, that they were worshiping, and they were dancing, and they were reveling, and they were having a party, and it was Fat Tuesday or worse. And Moses lost it. And he cast them on the ground and broke them. Well, he had to go back to the mountain to get them written in stone, these commandments written in stone again. Now, he went back up there, Mount Sinai, and numerous things happened. God gave him the law again. And I invite you to just go and read that chapter in its entirety. God gave the law again, spoke it again. God gave Moses a second chance. Moses came down from the mountain, and his face was radiant, or it was shining. It was a shining face. And it was such an experience that the people feared him. Something, I guess, they had never seen before. And he was glowing, if you will. He had been in the presence of the Lord, and the Lord shone all over him. So he put a veil over his face. He put a veil over his face so that when the people saw him, they would not be fearful or afraid. And then, but when he would he'd go back to talk to the Lord again, he'd take the veil off. So that's kind of the story there. The New Testament lesson. Luke chapter 9. Jesus took three disciples with him, and he ascended the mountain. He was about to begin this last trip to Jerusalem and to the cross. Why did Jesus come to earth? To die for the sins of mankind. That's why God sent him. So, he was about to go to his death. But it wasn't going to be an easy death. And you who saw the movie The Passion of Christ saw some of the portrayal of Jesus in what he had to go through. And some people were turned off by it. I could not watch part of it. I chose not to and haven't watched it yet. It was more cruel than I wanted to view. But I'm not sure that that movie even began to say how terrible it was. Especially when you think of the punishment for all the sin of all the people of all the world of all time, him paying for that. Or him receiving the punishment that was due all the people of all the world upon his body. It had to be terrible. This last trip to Jerusalem. And I think it's William Barclay that says, someone says, anyway, that he needed confirmation or affirmation from God that he really was on the right track. Now I have a little trouble with that because I think even the historical Jesus knew all that he needed to know except when the end of time would come. He said that. But some say that he needed this confirmation and this affirmation that going to Jerusalem and dying, that he wasn't mistaken about that calling, and that this really was his purpose on earth, that this really was the will of the Father. And on the mountain, he met with Moses and Elijah. Did I skip something? Maybe I didn't. On the mountain he met with Moses and Elijah. The scripture says that he and the disciples, three disciples, went there to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed. And his face became as bright as a flash of lightning. Have you had that experience recently? I had that experience coming from Birmingham Tuesday night. I had been to Jackson to visit Mom and coming home, and there was thunderstorms all through Alabama, and there was a great flash of lightning as bright as I have ever experienced. Just this Tuesday night, and I've seen a lot of lightning in my time, I thought, but that was a flash that was brighter. I mean, it was startling to me. As I drove up the highway. Now, if you will, look at verse 32. Well, before we get there, Jesus, his face was like a great flash of lightning. And Moses and Elijah appeared in great splendor. Now, Moses, we read about him from Exodus, but Moses had been dead for 800 years or thereabout. I think you can figure that up. Maybe a little more than that. Elijah had been gone for at least 400 years or more. They had been gone a long time, and they got on the mountain there, and there they appeared again with Jesus. Moses representing the law, Elijah representing the prophet. Look at verse 32, if you will. Maybe there's a lesson here about us and our experiencing the glory of God. Word glory is found many times in the Bible. In one place I think we're all familiar with is the story of the angels coming to the shepherds, and it says, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. Luke chapter 2, when Jesus was born. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. But you can find many, many, many references in the Bible. When the three disciples were able to see Jesus, it was when they became fully awake. When they became fully awake, they saw his glory. a wonderful moment, but they were so sleepy. But that wonderful moment, somewhere in that wonderful moment, they became awake. And they saw Jesus and Elijah and Moses. It was such a wonderful moment that they did not want to leave, especially Peter. That might call to your attention some wonderful moments in your life that you didn't want to leave, that you wish you could relive, or you wish it could always be like that. And maybe some moments with God where you wish it could always be. In this case, they couldn't continue there. They had to come down where the work was to be done. When they came down, there was a boy in trouble. His father had brought him to have Jesus to heal him. And Jesus came down and healed the boy. Move to verse 35, if you will. We must not ignore God's voice in this situation. Verse 35, tells us that the voice of God spoke from heaven. This is my son. Listen to him. That was confirmation to Jesus if he needed it, but especially confirmation to the disciples that Jesus was going to the cross. And they could depend on what he said, and that his word was an authoritative word. In that verse 32, I believe it's 32, we see that the disciples were asleep, or very sleepy. And then when they became fully awake, they were able to see Jesus. Barclay made a statement about this, and I read it, and it stuck with me. And so I asked the question this morning, what clouds our view of Jesus and His glory? And I think it's a question that we could all do well to ask ourselves. What is it that clouds our view of Jesus and His glory? What obstructions are in our spirit or in our life that obstructs the view of Jesus? What's keeping you from seeing, if this is the case, what is keeping you from seeing Him as God's Son, the only begotten Son of God? And then, what's keeping you, if this be the case, from seeing Him as the one who can save you or forgive you for all of your sin? I found a passage from Lakata. I've leaned on him a lot recently. Allow me to share this, and if the musicians would come forward. Many have looked at Jesus, but few have seen him. Many have seen his shadow, his people, his story. But only a handful have seen Jesus. Only a few have looked through the fog of religiosity and found Him. Only a few have dared to stand eye to eye and heart to heart with Jesus and say, I believe that You are the Son of God. Turn to 383, if you will. There are two verses to this song. It's open our eyes, Lord. And maybe your eyes are open this morning to Jesus.
Yeah.